Welcome to this podcast from Neurogastroenterology and Motility. It publishes original research and topical reviews on basic and clinical aspects of gastrointestinal sensation and motility, as well as brain-gut interactions.
So welcome everyone to this month's podcast from Neurogastroenterology and Motility. My name's Adam Farmer and I'm a gastroenterologist at the Wingate Institute of Neurogastroenterology in London. This month it's my great pleasure to welcome Professor Gary Moore and Dr. Steli Speer. Steli's now a postdoc at Stanford but did her PhD with Gary. Gary will be known to many of you. He's works at the Department of Neurological Science at the University of Vermont in the US and is a real pioneer in the field of translation science research within functional gastrointestinal disorders. So Gary and Steli, many thanks for joining us on this month's podcast and congratulations to you and your co-authors on your paper entitled Altered Gastrointestinal Motility Involving Autoantibodies in the Experimental Autoimmune Encephalomyelitis Model of Multiple Sclerosis. So Gary, if I could start off with you, could you provide some background to multiple sclerosis and what GI symptoms do patients complain of?
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you about our paper. So multiple sclerosis, or MS, is an inflammatory disorder of the central nervous system in which neural conduction is disrupted due to damage or destruction of myelin sheaths. Signs and symptoms of MS vary widely, but they often include vision loss, pain, fatigue, and particularly impaired coordination. Changes in organ function are a less well-known feature of MS, but MS patients often suffer from problems with bladder function and or GI problems, GI motility problems, particularly constipation. We became interested in trying to determine the mechanisms leading to constipation in MS when our local MS expert, Dr. Angie Appleby, who's a co-author on this study, approached us to tell us how frustrated she was trying to deal with the constipation in so many of her patients and how troubling a disorder that was for them.
So given that MS, as you said, is a central nervous system disorder, how can it affect the GI tract and particularly the enteric nervous system?
That's a great question. And as you can imagine, that's something that we've thought about a lot. And at first we were wondering whether the demyelination was affecting innervation of pelvic floor and anal sphincter, or if this was something going on in the enteric nervous system. And our evaluation of background literature indicated that one or both might be involved. And so we developed, but also to add, MS is thought to be an autoimmune disease, or at least autoimmunity plays a role in the progression of the disorder. And so we formulated the hypothesis that altered gut function arises as a form of collateral damage from the inflammatory events that are going on in the central nervous system. So in other words, we think that autoantibodies might be involved. And we know from the literature that autoantibodies directed against at least 20 different proteins have been detected in the serum of MS patients. And many of these proteins are expressed by neurons and glial cells in the enteric nervous system.
So Steli, if I could move over to you now, what were the aims of your study?
Thank you, Adam, very much for having us to participate in this podcast today. So the main aim of our study was to test whether we could replicate the symptoms seen clinically in multiple sclerosis in a mouse model of MS, and in particular, the GI symptoms. Their mouse models of MS are used a lot to study somatic motor symptoms and also to study inflammation and the autoimmune processes. And one main model is experimental autoimmune encephalomyelitis, or EAE, which is the model that we used here. So we also wanted to determine whether we could use this model to test whether autoantibodies play a role in gastrointestinal symptoms of MS.
So what methods did you use in your study?
Yeah, so the main method or the model that we use, as I just mentioned briefly, is the EAE model of mouse model of MS. So we induced EAE in SJL mice and also in BLK6 mice, and this is done by immunization against central nervous system proteins. The mice develop dysfunction of somatic motor. So they develop hind limb weakness. And there's a scoring chart that we use sort of to establish how severe their somatic motor symptoms are. However, we were more interested in their gastrointestinal transit. So once mice developed somatic motor symptoms, we used different in vivo gastrointestinal motility assays to assess their transit. Specifically, we looked at upper GI transit, whole gastrointestinal transit, colonic motility, and fecal water content in vivo. We also did ex vivo analyses using spatiotemporal mapping to analyze migrating myoelectrical complexes and also slow wave contractions. We were interested in identifying potential targets of autoantibodies in the enteric nervous system. And to do this, we collected serum from patients with MS and also from mice with EAE, and then surveyed the serum using immunohistochemistry by applying it against a guinea pig longitudinal muscle myenteric plexus. We then used this so after sort of establishing our targets, we used immunohistochemistry on EAE colons to see whether we could detect structural changes in the enteric nervous system of EAE mice. And finally, we tested whether these changes were related to autoantibodies by performing some of these analyses in B-cell deficient mice to determine whether they also exhibit dysfunction.
And so what were your key results to come out from your study?
Our major result is that we established that EAE mice do in fact have altered gastrointestinal motility, and we found this both in vivo and ex vivo. In vivo, we found that mice have slower gastrointestinal motility in both whole GI, and also we believe this to be localized to the colon because we found slower colonic transit and also drier fecal water content. We also found evidence of altered GI motility ex vivo, and we believe this is related directly to changes in the enteric nervous system because we found that migrating myoelectrical complexes and slow wave contractions were less frequent in the colons of EAE mice ex vivo. Interestingly, we found something inconsistent with what is reported clinically, in that we found stomach transit was actually increased. So gastric emptying was increased in these mice. We surveyed the autoantibodies or the serum from human and mouse samples, and this suggested that there's heterogeneity in the targets in the enteric nervous system. So some serum samples targeted enteric neurons, some targeted glia, and some targeted a combination of cell types. And this is consistent with what's observed in the central nervous system in this disease as well. In studying using immunohistochemistry to assess structural changes in the ENS, we found altered glial populations specifically related to a decrease in GFAP expression without a change in S100 beta and no change in neurons. So these are some targets that we're going to be investigating in the future. And importantly, we tested whether autoantibodies could play a role in this dysmotility by studying motility in B-cell deficient mice that were induced with EAE. So when we compared colonic motility between wild type and EAE mice, we found that there was a significant gene by disease interaction independent of somatic motor symptoms. And this provides strong evidence that autoantibodies could contribute to gut dysfunction in EAE and potentially also in MS.
And I think that's one of the really interesting aspects of the paper, that that this gene interaction may well be important. However, what do you think the limitations of your study were?
So being an initial study of this question, we're really just beginning to scratch the surface to investigate gut dysfunction in MS. So we reported some cellular changes related to enteric glia, but we really haven't looked at these in depth. So we hope to look more at the cellular changes that are occurring in glia and also in neurons that may contribute to the changes in motility that we're detecting. We also didn't assess for inflammatory cytokines or immune cell infiltration in the ENS. So we don't know whether there are actual B lymphocytes occurring local to the inflammation or other immune cells as well. So future studies will investigate some of these factors.
So it sounds very exciting, and certainly watch this space. So Gary, if I could go back to you, what do your results suggest as to the etiology of GI symptoms in MS in the overall view?
So the results of our study provide really strong support for our hypothesis that autoantibodies play a contributing role in the alterations in GI function that are associated with MS. We generated two lines of evidence to support this. For one thing, we showed that mice lacking antibody-producing B cells do not exhibit the changes in GI function that the wild-type animals show. And just to make a note, our B-cell-deficient mice did show the somatic symptoms. So they had full-blown EAE, but they didn't show the GI symptoms. The other line of evidence supporting our hypothesis is that serum samples, as mentioned by Stelly, from humans and MS patients successfully immunostained neurons and glial cells in the enteric nervous system. So we think we're getting at the etiology of the disorder.
So how do you think your results from your paper take the field forward, and where do you see the key knowledge gaps as we move ahead?
So I think our study is important in a number of ways. For one thing, we've demonstrated that various versions of the EAE model in mice can be used to study the GI symptoms of MS. Also, it's thought that autoantibodies in a number of different autoimmune disorders lead to changes in GI function. These include, but are not limited to, achalasia and diabetes. So I think our results are important from the perspective of understanding constipation in MS, but they are also going to apply to a number of other disorders. And importantly, we've developed a useful model to study the cellular mechanisms that lead to altered neuromuscular function caused by autoantibodies.
So with that, both Gary and Stelly, thank you so much to you for spending time with us on the podcast today, and your other co-authors for a really excellent paper. I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in, and I look forward to welcoming you all again on another instalment of the podcast next
month. Further information about this paper can be found on the journal website. We hope that you have enjoyed this podcast, and we look forward to welcoming you to next month's